How are we doing, everybody? Happy Wednesday to you and happy game week. The regular season finally upon us. I'm Joe Fan, joined by voice of the 49ers, Ted Robinson, as we are here each and every week on 49ers Live. Week one against the Carolina Panthers coming up here on Sunday, Ted. Like you said, finally get to throw out the preseason notes. No more of that fake news. The real deal. Holyfield, right now, regular season upon us.
Yeah. You know, it's great, Joe, because it was about 5 minutes after the Chargers preseason game ended, and I looked at these two gigantic boards that I have with 90 players each. Gone. It was kind of like, you know, at the end of school years, right? You always threw your notebooks. Never taking that class again. That's what it felt like. So it's about time to get the real deal. I'm sitting here looking at the real Carolina depth chart, remembering the tough game that we all experienced there last year in week two. And we had no idea when we played them last year there that that was going to be a 6-10 team. You could have never envisioned that seeing him play that week.
Before we turn the page towards week one, let's just take a quick peek. A couple of highlights from last week against the Chargers. And before we get into talking about roster cuts, you got to talk about a couple of guys who maybe earned their roster spots in this preseason finale. We start with Adrian Colbert. My goodness, laying the hammer. The real-life hit stick forces the fumble of Kenyon Barner. The 49ers defense recovers. That would lead to a field goal. And it's C.J. Beathard. We didn't see this in the scouting report. But are you kidding me? Like you said on the broadcast, Ted, how about this? 62 yards to the house, making defenders miss in the open field. Gassed at the finish line. I don't know who's more surprised, us or CJ. Either way, it's a touchdown for the 49ers.
John Lynch was with us in the booth as this play happened. He couldn't believe it, but of course, as I pointed out, just why you drafted him, John. You wanted a running quarterback.
One kick return for a touchdown already in the preseason for Victor Bolden Jr. This is a 92-yard punt return. Untouched to the house. New number from 1 to 83. He's now 17. Victor Bolden Jr. earned a spot on the 49ers roster with that kick or punt return, excuse me, right there. I mean, just a fantastic preseason for him. The 49ers would go on to win 23-13 against the Chargers in that kind of annual preseason wrap-up against the now Los Angeles Chargers. Did you make that slip up? You had an over-under. Did you say San Diego
Zero.
Once?
Zero.
We got one.
Zero.
We got one out of the official.
Tim Ryan had it happen to him about five times in the first half. We're laughing. And my safety valve was unlike last year when I screwed up and said St. Louis about 14 times on opening night. I just said Chargers. I never said anything. It was just the
That's
Chargers.
Smart. Yeah. Take away the room for error. Before we go again, going into week one, let's talk about the weekend and roster cuts and such a big weekend for you have roster cuts to get down to 53. You have the waiver wire. 49ers have the number two waiver claim spot for the entire season. It's not like your fantasy league where you get one guy and then move to the back of the pile. Every single player that comes through, you got the number two chance, right? Right after the Cleveland Browns, they put in a claim on Xavier Cooper. The 53-man roster is set. So is the practice squad. Was there anything that struck you over the weekend that maybe surprised you?
Yeah, not too much. I guess the only surprise to all of us, because we would have had no idea, I certainly had no idea watching the game, that there was any injury with Joe Williams. And the fact that Joe is not going to play this year, that's a surprise. We would never have envisioned that. I mean, I think the compliment to Matt Breida and Raheem Mostert is that they both played their way onto the team. They played their way ahead of Joe Williams. If Joe Williams had made the team, made the roster, I'm not sure he was going to be ahead of either of those two guys. That's a credit to what they did as undrafted players. Mostert obviously been around a little bit. But both undrafted guys, they played their way up onto the team. And I think that's the impressive part about the undrafted free agents, because you saw Bolden, as you said, and Kendrick Bourne, who both earned spots as undrafted. Colbert earned a spot as a safety. Magnuson as an offensive lineman. All these guys, undrafted players. So it highlights again that for all the emphasis we put on the draft and for all the emphasis we put on power conference players, there are still so many jobs that are won every year in this league by guys that you would have never heard of.
And not only that, I mean, guys who won roster spots, but guys who could really have a role on game day. We don't know where Victor Bolden will mix in with the return game. Matt Breida, the number two running back on this team. Lorenzo Jerome, like Kyle Shanahan just said, competing to start in week one against the Carolina Panthers with Jimmy Ward unlikely to play as he's still nursing that hamstring injury. All 10 draft picks made a team. You have five undrafted players making the team. And that, you know, so that's not an indictment of Jeremy Curley, you know, Quentin Dial. But it just goes to show you that they did a good job. The scouting department deserves quite a bit of kudos in getting their guys here.
And let me correct myself. Colbert obviously was a seventh-round draft pick. Jerome is the undrafted free agent that won his job at safety. But I think the other part, Joe, that you just touched on was what we all know, new bosses, new rules. And, look, you're coming off 5-11 and 2-14. There were very few reasons for anybody to feel secure. And so even a Jeremy Curley that played well here last year and filled a huge gap for this team as a slot receiver.
And was re-signed by this regime. I think that was also the misconception, that he was a bulky re-signing. John Lynch brought him back.
No, exactly right. And look, there's some things. Not everything goes perfectly, by the way. You re-sign Jeremy Curley to guaranteed money, and then you wind up not keeping him. Traded a draft pick for Capri Bibbs. I mean, we had to be honest here, and Capri Bibbs didn't really contest very well, hard to make the team, and you spend a draft pick on Joe Williams, it ends up being going to be a redshirt year for Joe. So not everything's perfect, and that's going to be the case. No one bats 1,000, so the new regime has already had a couple of those that didn't work out as anticipated. But it's also clear that they're willing to say, look, we got Trent Taylor, and Trent Taylor showed, so we're going to play him. Goodbye, Jeremy, and he lands with the Jets. Matt Breida and Mostert play their way onto the team. So Tim Hightower, whom they brought in here, and Bibbs, whom they traded a draft pick for, we're going young. And that's, to me, very smart. And it's a sign that Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch clearly have their eyes focused on longer term.
I think the other thing to note is that, as you see here, John Lynch's quote over the weekend. This is after roster cuts. He held a conference call with reporters. You don't have to be a football savant to see that this guy can move and move fast. We feel very positive about Breida and what he brings to the table. That's John Lynch. I'm Matt Breida. This is John Lynch on the overall creation of the 53-man roster. Here we are at 53, and we're really proud of the roster that we've put together and the professionalism of the guys handling what can be a grueling process. What strikes me is not only the roster cuts to get to 53, but like I said, with that waiver order, I mean, there are hundreds of near 1,000 players up on the open market. All these young guys become waiver eligible. The 49ers only put in one claim that we know of. They might have put one of a claim in. The Browns claimed 5 players. We could have been searching after one of those guys. But I think it is a testament to they feel really comfortable with the young guys they got in the draft, following the draft, and the veterans that are still on the roster.
Yeah, it's a wild scramble. Look, and we all highlighted this. We've never seen anything like this before, this many players out there. It was interesting that not many of the 49er players that were cut were immediately claimed. Blake Bell was by the Vikings, and eventually Curley goes to the Jets. Ahmad Brooks and Quinton Dial both go to the Packers. A couple of other players have ended up on other practice squads. Kalitro, I think, Seahawks did it again, right? Yep. The Seahawks put Kalitro, the Correct. Linebacker, on their practice squad. And then I laugh because of all things, you know, we've lived through the last, 5 years here where it seems like anytime the 49ers let a player go, Pete Carroll signs him, right? Now it's Arizona. Yeah. And it isn't just, but I mean, look what happened just over the weekend. Arizona signed Andy Lee.
Yep.
Former Pro Bowl punter here, who's clearly was a salary cap casualty both here and in Carolina. And now they just brought in Alex Boone. So Boone and Upati are both going to be guards in Arizona, and Andy Lee and Phil Dawson are the kickers. That's going to be crazy the first time. I think it was October 1st when we go to Phoenix the first time.
Yep. Week 4, correct?
Yeah.
Yep. So let's look ahead to week 1. The Cam Newton, the Carolina Panthers, again, a disappointing year last year. That Super Bowl hangover, if you will. This is their first time back here since February of a couple of years ago in Super Bowl 50. And they played last year. And like you said, it was a forgettable game on the San Francisco sideline. But an opportunity to avenge themselves here in week 1.
Yeah, and so there you see the first 4 weeks of the season, including that short week for week 3. But, you know, the immediate game here in week 1. And as I touched on with you early, Joe, when we watched Carolina play in week 2 last season, coming off 15-1 Super Bowl and scoring as many points as they did in week 2 against the 49ers, you could not have envisioned 6-10. But we know Cam Newton got beat up last year. And Carolina made a significant change in their first 2 draft picks. McCaffrey going up at number 1, and then Curtis Samuel out of Ohio State, number 2. And it's pretty clear that they are trying to reshape the way Cam Newton plays on offense. And now how successful that is, we're going to start seeing, because Cam Newton has barely played. You know, no offseason, only one brief appearance in week 3 of preseason. But Carolina has been absolutely shaped by Cam Newton's abilities and willingness to just throw the ball down the field. Ted Ginn, who the 49ers never really trusted here as a receiver, thrived when he went back to Carolina because the one thing Ted could do is run down the field. And Cam Newton throws beautifully down the field. Now they're saying, look, we can't have you get beat up. And so McCaffrey is going to do the one thing that Panthers hope that they've never done with Cam, which Kyle Shanahan is hoping is going to get reintroduced here. They're going to throw the ball to running backs. I mean, Cam Newton's never thrown the ball to his running backs. He's had D'Angelo Williams and Jonathan Stewart, and they not receiving backs.
Mike Tolbert,
not a receiving back. So they're hoping McCaffrey is that guy, just as Kyle here hopes that the running backs here are going to be used more as pass receivers. And can Cam Newton run an intermediate and short pass game with rhythm? I don't think it's going to deny them the downfield strikes. It's just going to try to add some variety and hopefully preserve Cam because, you know, look, a year ago tomorrow night, we all sat there and watched, and I think we were shaking our heads at the beating that Cam Newton took. And in an era when player safety and the consciousness of head injuries is so severe, that was allowed to happen was startling to a lot of people who care about the game and most certainly care about Cam Newton.
Yeah, you know the playmakers on offense, they've only gotten more impressive. You have Devin Funchess, Kelvin Benjamin at receiver, Greg Olsen, the future Hall of Fame tight end, probably. Obviously, he's been a security blanket for Cam Newton for quite some time now. The running backs, Jonathan Stewart, Christian McCaffrey. And then obviously Cam Newton. On the defensive side, it's all about that defensive front. Kaywon Short, Thomas Davis, Luke Kuechly, Shaq Thompson are just a couple of the names on that roster, that defensive front that only allowed 3.9 yards per carry last year. I think the benefit going in here is Kyle Shanahan's been in that division the last couple of seasons, so he knows what he's getting himself into. Those names are fairly similar. They're not going to do anything new per se than you've seen the last couple of years, and so obviously the personnel is different. No more Julio Jones or Matt Ryan. But at least it should give him some sort of a leg up when game planning this week.
Right, and that's a great call, Joe, and I think Kyle just touched on it in his press meeting there that, look, he knows Carolina's defense, but they know him. Now, even though Sean McDermott has moved on, he was the coordinator. He's now the head coach in Buffalo. They have a new coordinator, but the coordinator comes from within. Ron Rivera, very familiar with him. So I look at the Carolina defense, and I remember saying this last year when we played there. To me, it's a great testimony to what Carolina has done through the years to build and really what the 49ers need to see emerge, I think, this year. That you look at Carolina's defense and they start four of their own first-round draft picks, all three linebackers and defensive lineman Star Lotulelei, all their own number one picks. And they start two of their own number twos and two of their own number threes. So that's a homegrown, draft-built, top draft pick defense, meaning they hit on their draft picks. They didn't miss on the top ones. It wasn't finding, you know, a gem in the sixth round unexpectedly. That can happen. But to me, that's a great credit to what Carolina has done. And it's odd because they fired a couple of GMs who were responsible for these drafts, including most recently. They fired their GM, in June or July? But that, to me, is a great point. And Kyle Shanahan touched on it. Those linebackers are terrific. And Kuechly, we all remember Kuechly getting banged up pretty badly in the head late last season in what was a lost year for him. He is such a gifted player. I hope that he's okay. You know what I remember about Kuechly, Joe?
Yep.
It was at Candlestick, the last year of Candlestick, and 49ers ran a post pass to Vance McDonald running down the field and thought it was a touchdown. Kaepernick throws a pretty good ball, and Luke Kuechly ran stride for stride with McDonald like 45 yards down the field and broke up the pass, and that opened up our... He's an inside backer in a 4-3 that ran that far down the field with a guy in Vance who had wide receiver skills even though he was a tight end. That's when you knew right away. You said, wow, this kid's special player.
Yeah, special player. We got a few questions coming through. We'll get to those in just 1 second. I know you don't want to put too much emphasis on the first game, but it being a home game, before you go on the road to face Seattle in week two, this is truly the beginning of the Kyle Shanahan era in San Francisco. And so, again, it's a process, and we don't want to put too much stake in one game. But there's that feeling of, okay, this is the first time we really get to see it. And I think you can feel some anxious, you know, like, let's see what it looks like.
Well, Joe, I don't know. I just celebrated my anniversary yesterday. And so I remember I was talking with my wife about this. You know, the first time I took her out on a date, I was 19 years old and dumber than a stone. And I tried like heck to impress her. Right, I wanted the first impression. I'm sure you do that in all your various dates that you go on. You try like heck to make a great first impression. Human nature. Why would this be any different Sunday? Why wouldn't Kyle and John Lynch want badly to show the fans, the fans who've persevered through a couple of tough years here, have been very patient, that in this stadium, this gem of a stadium that entering year four hasn't seen a lot of great football yet, they want to put a first impression out there. That's human nature. I have to believe that's a big part of what they're thinking. Now, the other team is being paid to not let that happen, so we understand that. But from the 49ers standpoint, I would be shocked if Kyle and John haven't thought about that all offseason, that on September 9, we want to put a really good show on for our fans.
A fantastic metaphor. I'm going to sidestep my dating life and go to Tony, who wants to know what the matchup to watch is.
Come on, ask Joe questions about his dating life.
On Sunday. Great question, Tony. Ted, the matchup to watch on Sunday.
The matchup to watch. Well, the 49ers offensive line against the Carolina defensive line, and that, again, is not necessarily advanced scholarship here. We know Carolina's D-line, even though the infamous Hardy is gone, they still have Charles Johnson, they still have Short, they still have Lotulelei. Julius Peppers is back, by the way. I know he's about 50 years old, but Carolina brought Julius back this year. Joe, of course, leads the way as the anchor on the 49er O-line. But that O-line has to handle and keep Hoyer as clean as they can. And the other thing they have to do is establish a rhythm with Carlos Hyde. We haven't talked a lot about that because they didn't work a lot together in the preseason. But they have to establish that rhythm with the top running back.
Kevin wants to know, when do you think Solomon Thomas will be a starter? I think the answer to that is I think he already is a starter. I think he'll split reps with Tank Carradine a little bit based on offensive personnel down and distance. But just like the Carolina Panthers aren't going to be bashful about putting Christian McCaffrey in every situation possible, the 49ers will do the same with both Solomon Thomas and Reuben Foster. So regardless of what the depth chart says, Robert Saleh has already said that Solomon Thomas and Tank Carradine are co-starters. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if he takes the first rep on Sunday.
Depth chart to me is irrelevant. First play of the game is irrelevant. How many total snaps do they play at the end of the game? That's what you look and watch for. If you're a 49er fan, remember back to the Super Bowl in that stretch. How many snaps? Isaac Sopawaga was the starting nose tackle on the Super Bowl team. People forget Ike, right?
Yep.
How many snaps? He was playing 10, 12, 15 snaps at most in the playoffs because very few of the downs were run in the base defense. So my point is don't pay attention and don't get obsessed by who starts the first play of the game. Look at the end of the game and look at the total snap count. That tells you. And right now, the league, by the way, what was the number last year? It was somewhere around 60%, I think, of the league snaps teams played nickel. 5+ DBs. I mean, that's the way football is today.
And that's going to be the recipe for Solomon Thomas to get on the field. Let's get to our major keys as we finish up this preview of week one. Ted, you already alluded to yours. I know, you know, the establishing of the running game, something they didn't do in the preseason, and getting Carlos Hyde going is so important. He's got a pair of touchdowns in each of his last two week one performances. So maybe a non-core third time's charm.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a connection. And I think I touched on this with you, Joe, one of the last couple of weeks. That was always a big thing for Frank Gore here. Frank, you know, especially his later years here, the 49ers really tried to ration, if not totally eliminate Frank from playing in the preseason. And Frank would say he wanted to play. He wanted some preseason snaps to get into his groove with his O-line. And that was even with the veteran O-line that played in the Super Bowl year. I got to think it's the same thing now with Carlos because it's a new scheme. It's a new run scheme, new responsibilities to the O-line. I think the 49ers feel really good about Joe Staley and Trent Brown at tackles. We know Kilgore is a veteran. You have Beatles, who's in his second year here, and a new guy in Fusco as the guards. I think that's a concern. We want to make sure that the guards are working. They traded for a former number one pick from another team in Tomlinson that Kyle talked about. Establishing a rhythm. And look, we've seen the 49ers pound teams the last 2 years on opening night here, Monday night, Minnesota 2 years ago, Rams last year. I'm not sure you're going to be able to pound Carolina like that. But just to establish the fact that you can run the ball, I think, is going to be essential. And the offshoot to that is having the offensive line, that number one O-line, establish themselves with a good rhythm.
It's going to be a collective, both defense and special teams. That's containing Christian McCaffrey. We've talked about the former Cardinal quite a bit here on 49ers Live. I don't care that it's an NFL debut. I don't care that he hasn't done it before in the NFL. I know what Christian McCaffrey can do. We all know here in the Bay Area what Christian McCaffrey can do. The Heisman snub is an absolute all-around stud, and he showed that in the preseason. Limited reps, obviously, in the passing game and the running game. Who knows if he'll be the starting punt returner and or kick returner. I wouldn't be surprised if that's the case. But Diana Rossini of ESPN reported yesterday, the Carolina Panthers have a whole separate part of their playbook dedicated to Christian McCaffrey. They're going to be creative in ways to get him the football. Yeah. He's a special talent. He's a special playmaker, and it will take all 11 on defense. and a very collective effort on special teams as well to keep him in check. Just avoid the home runs with him, right? He's always one play away from breaking it. You can't let him hit the home runs. I think you set the tone early. I think having Solomon Thomas there obviously helps. I think having Reuben Foster there helps. I mean, there's a lot of young talent on both sides of the football, but I think Christian McCaffrey, NFL debut or not, he's someone you have to be keying on every single play. I think the 49ers will do that.
It's a huge weekend. You think about this. Of course, we're focused 49er-wise here, but it's a huge weekend for Stanford football because they've got a massive game Saturday at USC. You know, early season, but one of the most important games of the season. And then I would think, David, Sean, a lot of Stanford players are going to be fully focused on Levi Stadium Sunday to watch Solomon and McCaffrey. And I think in the first quarter it has to happen because those two guys were so tight. They spent so much time together at Stanford, both working out together, playing football, and off the field. They were very good friends. Solomon Thomas has to plaster him just once. Some running play where Solomon's going to get a good shot at his buddy, and he's going to do what he's supposed to do. He's going to drop him. He's going to stone him. I want to see that happen once in the first quarter.
McCaffrey confirmed on the conference call this morning, him and Solomon Thomas, great friends, obviously having a lot of respect for Kyle Shanahan. Those families have known each other for quite some time. Before we get out of here, Tom Rathman Hall of Fame game. We can't forget about number 44. Kyle Juszczyk, obviously the new number 44 as the fullback position, will be a predominant role in this offense with Kyle Shanahan. But Tom Rathman, him going into the 49ers Hall of Fame will be a special moment this weekend. And let me tell you, there is just an amazing giveaway. I have a schmuck. I had one.
You had it here last week.
I had it here last week and forgot to bring it up here on the desk. So that's fail number one.
Yeah.
I doubled down on that failure. As I'm bringing it up, had it on my shoulder. It somehow fell off of my shoulder in my walk from my office to the studio. I went back, retraced my steps. It was already gone. And so here, let me just paint the picture in your mind. Just imagine a rally towel, but instead of a rally towel, it's shaped like a jersey. Number 44 and Rathman on the back. It's a Tom Rathman jersey-shaped rally towel. It's going to be incredible. I actually lost on purpose, so I wouldn't spoil the surprise. I'm a schmuck. I've got no excuses. I'm sorry to Allie Dick and our brand manager, and I lost our only sample of the Tom Rathman towel. But come on Sunday here to Levi's Stadium. We'll get your very own. It should be a really fun time here at Levi's Stadium.
What startles me most about that story, Joe, you walk from your office here? What happened to your driver?
Yeah, well, the driver was busy today. He's getting the coffee for the post show. So, I apologize. But just imagine your head. It's really just a fantastic thing. Also a fantastic thing, a great segue there by me is I am completely on point today. Brick by Brick, the incredible series by our 49ers Studios team. Two episodes so far, the grand finale, episode 3 coming on Thursday. Here is the world premiere of a new tease of Brick by Brick.
All right, here we go. High heel, walk, 15 yards. Go.
We're all working with one goal.
Turn around, face the fence. Backward run, 50. Backward run, back. Backward run, 50. Backward run, back.
To keep each player on the field healthy and strong as we can through the entire season.
When you get here, scramble down. Scramble, 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 scramble. Touch, back to the second dot. We only working down the middle dot. We only working through the three middle dots.
That is Ray Wright and his famous hill that he constructed, a 38-degree ramp, 20 yards at the SAP Performance Facility. That thing is steep and not very popular, as you can guess, by the 49ers players.
I've watched a few practices, quite a few practices here at the end of practice where players' families were here during camp and the kids were up there playing it almost like it was a giant slide. You know, you'd say it's a water slide except it's dry, but they used it like that. My question to you, Joe, is we know you ran up facing frontwards early in camp. You didn't have you tried the backward thing yet?
I haven't tried.
We're going out there. We've got to go out there because that's
gotta make it. I also am pitching to Ray Wright that you put a tarp, get it wet, and you'll water slide down. You would be cooking down that thing.
Well, no, I know. The backwards run that we just saw from those players, I hadn't seen that before. Back in my day when I was a marathon runner, and that was a huge part of training for running the Boston Marathon, was to run that way because it strengthens your quads. That's an incredibly grueling exercise. So I watched that and I just cringed because I hadn't seen it live before.
Humble brag, former marathon runner.
I'll do that. Well,
no,
yeah. Wait a minute.
Big deal.
No, my point is I didn't tell you the time, okay? I make sure I eliminate that. There's two different things. There's finishing and then there's time. I finished.
You're a superstar in my book, Ted Robinson. Brick by Brick, Thursday, 6 p.m. Pacific time. It'll be on the 49ers app, 49ers.com, and YouTube. Be sure to check it out. 6 p.m. again on Thursday, the grand finale of that great series. Kudos to our 49ers Studios producers for long hours and great work there. For Ted Robinson, I'm Joe Fan. Now, Mondays every week. Don't forget, every Monday here for the regular season as 49ers Live rolls into the regular season. Enjoy the game on Sunday.